this was a plan that was prepared to do that.
Was that on the lower portion of the cemetery?
Right.
Not so much on the upper portion.
No, the back part that was cut, that's perfectly fine to do that. It actually was probably jumping ahead a little bit because
this is down within the resource. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, do you feel that that's a necessity to have those trees along that side?
We can talk about that when we get to that.
Okay.
I don't have any more questions. Yes.
I have a question for Jeff. This is Averyn Allard's proposal. Did you contact Mr. Allard about this?
I gave the name of the business to either Peter or Sharon, and they made the contact.
Okay. Is he the only person you contacted on this for this remediation or reforestation? Was Mr. Allard?
Yes, he's licensed, I believe, and he is the one that we wanted to use some
of the people.
Yeah, I mean, typically what we do is we get a couple different quotes and plans. You know, just kind of good business, you know, to...
But that's what I'm asking. Did you...
No, I did. I think this was more... No, we didn't. I think this was more just ballpark, just to show what scope and of work might be done.
And I'm doing this, and by the way, you know, I went down to Florida after my daughter's wedding. We got it off on time. I was on the porch, not out where the wedding was, but they lugged me out there. But I have what they call chronic stroke syndrome. And I've had over, they said, in excess of a dozen mini strokes in this last year. And that's why I'm not really messing around trying to squeeze somebody for a couple $100. I want it done right because I'm going to be there. My family's going to be visiting there. And I'd kind of like to have it done so that after all this work and expense, a lot of it I've done personally with my own two hands, that, you know, it's more important to me to have this thing finished and finished right if I need it, than it is to try to save a few $100 trying to get multiple bids on this. It seems right because, like I said, I ran industrial metal. We did 60% of the scrap in the whole state. And, you know, I've had a lot of experience with, we did the first brownfield development up in the old Brewer Junk site, up in Brewer. So I've had a lot of, and I think that his prices are right in the ballpark.
And then,
thank you. Chairman, before you move on, there was a question about potential bias raised earlier. This would be the point during a meeting with you.
Concerning Mr. Johnson's presentation.
Do you have any money invested in this association? Do you anticipate getting any money from the association?
No. It's not, as Jeff pointed out, it doesn't deal with money.
No.
I don't think we did this in the first one. We didn't have
to. Just a friend society?
As opposed to what? I mean, yeah, just a group getting together to make sure that information is formed on the issue of the Silver Lake and the watershed, you know, kind of, the pipeline and those things.
Has that group expressed any interest, yea or nay, regarding this?
Well, most of them probably don't even know much about it.
It's not an issue.
But I wanted to be up front and bring it up.
Appreciate it.
I don't find any.
Any other questions?
I would ask for a vote, please.
I don't know how to put it.
I move that there is no bias or conflict of interest.
I second.
All those in favor? Good. You're funny.
Don't mess up our rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Tom, any of the public?
What's next, right?
Huh?
What's your next check?
Yep.
Number two time.
Any of the public want to comment?
I will.
Okay.
Paul Beers, Silver Lake, beside the cemetery. This proposal he's brought up, I think, is a very bad idea. For one, it feeds into Silver Lake. You have the perfect opportunity right now to stop this from feeding any more runoff into Silver Lake. If you don't think that cemetery has a runoff, then you grab yourself a Dixie cup after a rainstorm, go down and get a drink of water. Another thing, that cemetery was established in the 30s by a Seaboard Paper Company, only to be enlarged to a certain point. And it's already been enlarged to that point in around 1974. And the condition of that cemetery up there, I don't think you could even bury 10 people up there 6 feet down. That whole hill is ledge. And as far as making a parking lot up there, you need a billy goat to get up that hill. That hill is so steep. And you'll get even more runoff. As far as him doing all this project, he's already done it without getting any permits from the town. No consulting, the neighbors. And we listened to that stuff last year from 5:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock. Chipping, chainsaws, bulldozing. There's no curfew. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't put up with that. If the mill asked for that, you wouldn't put up with that noise. The trees that were cut, they had plans on extending that cemetery right along the road, right probably to our neighborhood. And they probably would have done it. That shouldn't have been allowed. It's been extended as far as it should go, as far as the original deed from Seaboard said it could go. And Jeff has that deed. I don't think he's reading it. I don't know if that land has ever been surveyed. Right today, I don't think it's been surveyed. I don't see any survey markers up there. And as I said, that is all ledge up there. The guy that did the clearing of that, I asked him what he thought, and he says, I don't think you'd be burying anybody up there. So if you don't think there's ledge up there, you grab yourself a shovel and go take a dig for yourself. But the main concern is Silver Lake. If you're trying to preserve Silver Lake, this is a good chance to start right now. Because you're not going to stop it after you approve it. And the cost of this, I'd like to know what it's cost so far, the work that he's done, and what cost will be to finish it, and who's going to maintain it. Right now, that Catholic Church Cemetery doesn't get maintained with the size it is. You got people out there that have their own private lots, that are taking their own lawnmowers out and mowing it, because it's not up, kept up. Now, I'm sure it's three times as large right now, so it's not going to get maintained. The year 2020, 2030, three times the size. And as far as the runoff right now, there is runoff from that hill. You take a rainstorm, you go down, you can sweep the chips off the road. And there's a few occasions last year we had to go around the water washout, down around the culvert that's been plugged up. If it's that easy to extend a cemetery. And you're not reading the rules. You're not going to dig any more graves up there. So what I'm saying, you ought to take a good look at this project. Jeff knows more about it than he's saying. Yeah, you laughed, Jeff, but you do. Before the first tree was even cut, I went in and told Jeff he didn't have a permit, and he let him continue cutting that. That's all I can say.
Keith Beers, I own the property right beside there. That, what you call the metal stake there, that used to be, when I get the property, there used to be a little well house there from way back. The original owners used to draw their water for the garden from a tube through the culvert. And I took that out. And I left that there so that when we're plowing the driveway, that's right on the edge of the tack. Yeah. You know, you got a stake there, you know, where the pavement ends, so you're not ripping the yard up. The well, there is two wells up back there. The other one, I'm not sure exactly where the location is. It is an in-ground one. I'd have to do some survey and figure out that exactly. As far as the site, it's hideous. I'm tall, but your house built on top of the foundation. My kitchen window is, you got the deck there. You sit at the kitchen table, I can sight every single bit of it, sitting down in a chair. I wouldn't have bought the property if you could see that when I bought the property. And there should be some privacy between the cemetery and that. They can't have a single, you get a single person up there. My dog goes ballistic. It's, you know, they deserve their privacy as much as I deserve mine. I mean, nobody else would really, you look out at night, everybody's got their orange lights, they have the little lights on the gravestones, which is nice. But if you never had that before, now all of a sudden everything's slashed right down. And nobody was even notified on that before it started. You know, it's very bad planning. And there is a lot of runoff. I see it every morning. You can go out there now and there's chips out in the road. And it's quite a steep grade up there. That's what I got.
We ought to open this up. And start.
Can I just ask a clarifying question on the deed that's in the packet from Seaboard Paper Company? It states at the bottom that the lot of land constituting the second parcel described herein shall be forever used solely for the purpose of a park and chapel site. And this conveyance is made upon the express condition that in case of said lot or land shall be used by the grantee or its successors for purposes other than those herein specified. Is this second lot? Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I picked up on that too, Mary Jane. What happened after that was there was a release deed given that removed that obligation, if effect.
Oh, okay. So we don't have that in this package?
No. I don't think I gave you a copy of that, but I have a copy of the release deed right here that does exactly what I said.
Okay. No.
So that release deed basically says that they can use it for something other than
right.
a park.
Right, not just for what that deed says. Yes. It's limited to.
And this land in question is that second parcel.
So I can read you the section. It says, this release deed releases any interest the grantor may have in the property described herein, including without limitation any interest of the grantor in the condition of the property or any portion thereof be forever used solely for the purpose of a park and a chapel site, as stated in said deed for Maine Seaboard Papers of the Roman Catholic Bishop of Portland. So that's the deed you're reading.
Right.
Yeah. So that was from the 1930s, I think.
Yeah, when is that one there, David?
It's 2002.
Raise a question just to clarify. Is that relevant to, is the issue of the cutting a separate matter versus the application for the expansion of cemetery? I'm just trying to understand. Are these two different things? And if not, how are they relevant?
Trying to try to understand. There's been allegations. The gentleman testified to his long-term disability of sorts. and that apparently added to the confusion and the length of time that this has been going on. He was quite detailed in that explanation, so I'm just trying to understand how this came about.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand there was obviously a violation, you know, no matter what was the context. But in terms of this request for the expansion, is that relevant to this?
Well, there's also some expansion that came about up in the back. That, I assume, that was not included in this application that they put in for expansion to the side. They did get the permit, I assume, to go up back and cut that in the back as well, right?
It was a timber harvest, which doesn't need a permit from the town. I started to say earlier that the purpose, or the ultimate purpose of that clearing, was for the cemetery expansion, and maybe they got a jump on that before they should have to prepare that site for the cemetery expansion before it had been approved. But I did not place a stop work order on that. They're here tonight to hopefully get approval of that site for their planned cemetery expansion. The issue of the violation I identified is not in the purview of this board. It's a violation that I've identified and need to resolve. The only role you have in this is to confirm that the resolution of the violation is going to meet the purposes of our ordinance. And that's the plan you have, or something similar to that, is what the resolution of the violation will be. I'd never issued a violation notice. Mr. McAvoy has been very cooperative in working with me, finding a solution without having to take a formal enforcement action.
Mid-July to when I stopped and I had my accident, what we were doing is we were actually clearing that brush that I talked about that overhung the road, and the road that was the existing road that's been used for many years goes by the telephone pole there, and you couldn't see to get out. We went in there, we cleared that along that roadway over to the other roadway, and then we went up and we cleared at the other end of the cemetery. We went in because nobody knew where all the stakes were to mark the end of the cemetery, so you could get a point to measure from. So according to the gentleman that, you know, does the maintenance out there, we went in and we cleared all that over dead brush and stuff that's laying on those stones that have been there for well over 100 years, and we cleaned up all that stuff on the ground. But we didn't do anything else. We just went in and did that cleaning, and then I got hurt. So that put the project on hold until I could get back on my feet. And then it was August 19th that we started cutting of 2015. And we started cutting, and Mr. Hammond come on August 20th. So he came up, they got the equipment in, they started it up, and then we got to meet Jeff. So it was that with that kind of equipment, anybody that is familiar with that kind of harvesting equipment, it doesn't take very long for that stuff to happen. The machine goes in, cuts it, lays it down, and then they had a chipper there and limbed out the stuff that was worth limbing out, and I mean it happened very quickly. And when I didn't mean any disrespect to Paul when I did bar, because like today I've been up and down that hill about 50 times out through that bark, and I was just watching too many conventions, I think. So I apologize for that. But that's why we have everything written down. My sister worked for me for decades, worked for a long time at my business, and she's the detail person. And she kept a log of everything, and it was the 19th that the equipment come in, and it was the 20th that Mr. Hammond showed up.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you.
So I would say it's separate, but it has to be I would think if it's approved, then we would include that.
As a condition?
As a condition, that that be repaired.
That what be repaired?
With the cut of
the screen. The screen that gives privacy.
This well, ballard landscaping or yes, something similar.
Yes. It's, yeah, I agree. Mr. Chairman, yeah. I ask the committee, I know I would like to move to that buffer area and have a discussion if that's relevant. Is this a good time to have a discussion about the buffer area and the chart for the map that's on here? We have a proposed buffer identification of existing burial area edge buffer area C buffer area D.
Yeah.
Before the cutting, was that 12 foot wide walkway at that location between C and D that was already there?
Yes.
Is that like a gravel road now or is that just a grassy area?
They're doing gravel.
Okay, thank you. That's not a new condition then. All right.
And the second road also up above there was there. That was where they accessed the higher area.
Buffer area C and D are in resource.
I just want to make sure that that is the walkway being proposed. That I want to change the dimensions. So the dimensions of this buffer area C and D, is that available? Do we have that, those dimensions? With the area total spread? What area are these numbers?
I'm looking, well, there's some fine. They're saying 150 feet. And then on the lower portion it says 165.
There you go. Where are you seeing that? I've got these cards
okay.
I have.
Yeah. Right down there. And it's right up there. It's very fine.
So that's 165 across the front of area D.
Yeah, 150 up at just above C.
And 150 on the side.
And
yeah,
I'm just
and then look at that.
Yeah.
Well,
the existing drive to the back first line. Yeah, maybe 150. Including that 12 foot walkway.
Total area 20,000 square feet is what it says on the proposal. We're talking 24 trees and 20,000 square feet proposed.
And again, we don't. The photographs show you, the Google Maps show you how much. How wooded that area was,
right?
Versus they're showing a dozen trees, right? Four in B, C, and D. I think there's a percentage ratio, isn't there, for what was gone and what should have been remaining. If it was done properly.
So where did the white pine, where did the 8 foot height on the white pine, is that something Mr. Allen proposed, or is that something put in the specs, or how did you come up with an 8 foot high tree?
Yeah,
you have, just for a second here, you have your standards, you have an objective that deals with protection of vegetation,
mm-hmm.
shoreline buffer, so may I suggest that if you want to dig into that more thoroughly, that you wait until we get to that point during your review.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take very long to get to that. It's a very first set of standards. under the environment standards. Just so we don't jump around. You know,
right. Yeah. View.
In the local area standard.
I'm trying to figure that out. Sketch that. I think that's a sketch they probably did the original conveyance. Although they don't refer to it, I guess. Just trying to figure out from the deeds, because they aren't very well marked on here, what was conveyed in the first set and the second deed. Mm-hmm. I gotta read this. I guess we have some time reading it. That's what we're in. English.
We're going to move on to plan board review. Would you like a few minutes?
Tell me if you would like. I can read.
Okay. Environmental objectives. To discuss stormwater. Erosion control. Surface waters. Ambient air is non- applicable wildlife habitat, non-applicable.
Mr. Chairman, where are you in the proceedings here? I'm sorry.
About to start.
Environment standards.
All right, thank you.
And under environmental standards, I believe we will discuss 2, 3, 4. And anything else?
1 if there's ledge, I don't know if that's a problem.
Okay, yeah.
7.
Yeah, issue with that ledge. Yep.
All right. There's another one later.
What's that?
Address the trees and local area standards.
Okay. We'll go through those right now, I believe. Stormwater runoff from the land use is minimized to the greatest practical extent and adequately managed to reduce risk of relevant detrimental effects. And right now, what is before us is not really addressed at all. Site maps don't show the water runoff. They will need a soil erosion control plan for this project, period.
Yeah.
This is well beyond the scope of best management practices, which have partially been used out there at the moment, but the concerns at the bottom and the road and the culvert, the lake,
extending the steep gravel road.
Yeah.
planning board, well, I suggest we have something suitable that is going to address the situation that exists out there or proposed to exist out there. Any comments?
Well, it's a water management as well as a soil erosion issue.
Yes. Yes.
And I think Dwayne referred to it as a water management issue. This is concerned with the mountains.
Well, the Surface Drinking Water Act precludes that. But the topography of the site and stuff, and what is going to be required to control the runoff, particularly from the roads, and actually the existing level and the new upper level, the amount of watershed and where it's going to go, whether it goes back to the south or to the north. I can see a lot of berms needed on this particular project. What is the rest of the board feel?
Spoken already.
Soil erosion plan sounds.
Yeah, this what we have in front of us has nothing really.
This is where we include conditions like the road need to be paved or something other than gravel. Culverts need to be installed at the bottom to deal with the concern of public works people.
So there's a bit of a difference between a soil erosion plan and a stormwater management plan. A soil erosion plan deals with temporary measures taken, change of surface soil. A stormwater management plan, permanent measures taken.
Which would be the road and the culvert.
The road could be settlement ponds with the amount of water that we're looking at.
Let me ask this too. So you develop a stone water management plan for that road with the ultimate, you know, to sort of suggest what you're talking about, to have that drain into the lake, it becomes another issue all by itself going into the lake.
Oh, yeah.
My understanding is, talking to Dwayne about this for some reason a long time ago, I don't even know if we know that drainage goes. Does it go up to the causeway and stop there? Or it's just that's what's the unknown. So does it go there, go under the culvert, under the road, near the lake, I guess. Now, if you're talking about paving, you're talking about automobiles up in there, you're introducing a whole new set of problems potentially, unless you can try to keep that water out of the lake. I'm talking oil and you're talking other issues.
There'll be vehicles up there no matter what the road
surface is. I know, but we'll be...
Well, I mean, you've got traffic on the road that's driving by. I don't...
Well, I understand. That doesn't make it good to expand that opportunity. Just because it's there now doesn't mean we can expand it. I mean, it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
I don't believe this is an expansion of the existing road or the use of the road.
It could be an expansion of the existing on-point source infiltration of other, you know, right, issues like oil or any of that kind of thing. So maybe make it actually worse for the environment by paving.
There are other ground pavement scenarios,
yeah,
that actually a grass.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the expertise of somebody that knows how to do that, I would think would be what we do.
The science and practices are available nowadays to mitigate these concerns. And I believe they should, something like that should be presented. Because right now, we don't. I could actually see down in Area D what they was commonly called a settlement pond, where all runoff is collected and filtered out and then goes to the culvert. So
if I may, Mr. Chair, it sounds like what the board is concerned about documenting properly is the handling of stormwater runoff from the impervious surfaces that are to be created, the parking lot, the improvements in the driveway going up the hill, and the parallel roads that are to be built as well. Where's stormwater going from those impervious areas? It sounds like that's what the board is trying to get a handle on.
It looks like there's a ditch that goes along the bottom. It's not very deep. And then where the roads come out, there doesn't appear to be a pipe underneath them, or it's blocked.
Yeah, that's the point we made by the
flood the road,
director.
It looks like. Has it? Yeah. It has. That's what we're referring to.
That's the issue.
May I speak?
Sure, please.
The roads we're showing up the hill, the ones horizontal across, have existed there for a very, very, very long time. What we've done is we've put berms up on there from the stump grindings and then from the bark and branches, and there's nothing that's gone out. There's nothing that has washed down on the road. We've checked it. I checked it today. I walked all over that. I got pictures that I took today to show where the line was, where that top part is, and where the lawn was mowed, and there's not a chip out of place there. When you go down through where the roads went across, to be doubly safe along the edge of the road, we put a whole berm of bark there to make sure any of the water that ran off that road when we cut the sumac out of there would not be able to get down into the lake. So if you go out there, you'll find about six berms horizontal across that hill to improve the water quality going down the hill. And then the additional trees being planted back in there will actually give some root structure to reinforce those berms. So it's going to be multiple times better than it was. It's already multiple times better than it was in the beginning. There's 500 or 600 yards of stump grindings, branches, bark up there, and it's doing a beautiful job. That was my only question when you started talking about paving, because we've gone through this working with the mills throughout the state and stuff, is they start off trying to go in a better direction and they create bigger problems. Right now, like I said, the day after we finished putting that bark and stuff in place and the berm to finish the rest of the berms and stuff, you had the road between here and Ellsworth wash out. Nothing washed out up there. And I mean, that's the worst storm that I've ever seen here. So, you know, given the fact that the road's there, the road's going across there, they're hard, but they got grass on them. And that's what I was thinking, as long as they mow the grass so you don't get trees and stuff so they can't access it, and so people can walk through there and people can be pushed through with wheelchairs, that's the best scenario. And the only thing going down the hill that might be an improvement over what's existing but wouldn't create more stormwater would be crushed stone.
Yeah.
And crushed stone going down there. But if you put, you know, if you just try to grass that, somebody trying to, especially elderly people trying to get down that hill or up that hill when it's raining, I mean, you're creating a very bad situation. So I would just...
There are other products.
Yeah, and I'd be very interested to hear any suggestions. But I just wanted to make sure that people understood that those horizontal roads were there, the road going up was there, and the area that that we were talking about for the parking lot, we've got a big berm there, and that's where 8 of those trees are going to be planted in addition.
Berms that are there right now are bark. They aren't permanent.
They're bark, rocks, shale, you know, it's a mixture. I mean, you can go, I mean,
they it's not going to last 1,000 years. Right now, all that stuff up there is a temporary ground cover. And theoretically, it's had a year. And
I'd like to say something about what he just said. I've lived out there for over 45 years, and that road's been there for 45 years, the road he's talking about. And we've never had the amount of washout we've had since he's done all that work up there. He doesn't know because he doesn't live up here. He's in Florida in the wintertime. He doesn't know how that road washes out. Any one of you people go up there tomorrow and check that road, and you'll find back in the road. Find back in the lake. There was times last winter we had to float around the washout.
I have numerous friends and relatives here in town that keep an eye on that place, and no one has ever reported. I don't know if Jeff, has anybody reported you any washouts into the road there or anything at that place?
Not recently.
There's a town backhoe off there last winter digging out that washout. Check with the town crew.
I have a question for you, Mr. Mantle. Did you say it's better now than it was before? Is that what you're...
As far as the water migrating down through.
So there's less water in your mind going down through than before the cut was made in the buffered C&D?
If you want to get into, you know, trying to make this thing, is it better than having trees there that were there?
I'm not trying to get into anything. I'm just trying to understand.
But the thing is this, the trees that were out on the edge and the trees that were across the top of the cemetery reek, the branches were coming down and hitting stones, breaking stones, knocking stones over, and you can go out there and look yourself. So those trees either had to have something done with them, or, you know, you're just going to have that same problem. I mean, it's a devastating thing to a family to have a tree come down. And, you know, I'm not going to get into a situation here with going back and forth with somebody that's not being truthful. When I was there in 2013 and I was cleaning out that sumac, a lady asked me about being able to cut some of the stuff that's on the other side of the road, the lake side of the road. I said, I don't think it can happen. Paul was walking his dog. I asked him about it. He says, do it a little at a time. Go up and take a look across the street from my place. So, it's like...
Well, a lot of places up there where the trees are falling down, like he's talking about, they're falling down for a reason, because they're going to get roots, because there's so much ledge up there, the trees aren't growing roots. That's the biggest problem. And talk about the runoff. It's not just runoff on the... southern side of that cemetery is a whole cemetery. You go up and look at them graves there at the top of the cemetery, and you find this back washed on them. And that is a steep hill. I don't know how anybody that's handicapped could even walk up that hill. This is a good time to stop this project. You're going to endanger Silver Lake forever if this project goes on. You got the townspeople to think about.
We obviously have a difference of opinion on both sides. And we can't say one's right and the other's wrong.
No.
But we need to kind of rein that back and forth in, I think.
Yeah.
Well, our concern is to maintain the stability of that hillside and prevent any erosion and sedimentation of the lake. I mean, that's our job.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whatever that entails, that's our job.
Absolutely. Right. I agree. I just think this isn't getting us anywhere.
We aren't here to mix the project. We are here if the applicant can present to us something that will satisfy all the conditions and the requirements that are required by us.
I agree. I'm just saying that this, you know, we're not getting any further along.
No. Well,
in terms of the environmental standards, we aren't going to get very far anyway, because we're going to need some sort of plan for controlling the erosion. There's probably going to have to be an engineered plan.
Right.
We don't have enough information, really, to make a decision on it.
Exactly.
No.
At this point.
And I think we need to move forward to determine that. And you're right. I agree 100%. I'm just asking that the comments, you know, we had the public comment, and now it's our turn.
Correct.
And we got to do that, and then if there's more, then we can take it. But we'll be here for a month of Sundays if we keep going back and forth.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate what you're saying. For me, this is an extremely serious situation. Nothing like I've ever seen here in this town before, and it's really important that we do a very good job to make sure we're as comprehensive as possible about this. So I just want to make sure that we understand that there was a violation there. I can't imagine a more serious violation than this, and it has to be made sure that I agree with everything you said. We've got a certain limit of responsibilities, but we have to make sure that we do this correctly, because it sets precedent. And we can do more damage for ourselves and the town in the future if we don't do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be harder and harder to make decisions if we don't take care of this, prompt way, especially considering the situation with the slope and all that. That's all. Thank you.
I make a motion that until the planning board is presented with an erosion plan, pre-construction and post-construction, that we table it till we do have such plans and data from the applicant.
Mr. Chairman, when you talk about tabling that certain part of this review, or the entire review?
The entire review, right.
Well, if they come back and there's other stuff later.
Right. I recommend we continue.
Might be more than one item.
Okay.
Okay. We're on three, I guess.
Stormwater.
Soil.
So just to be clear, Mr. Chairman, the board is currently looking at number two under environment standards?
Yeah. Correct.
That pertains to stormwater management, not soil erosion control. Number three pertains to soil erosion control.
Well, I think we looked at both of those.
I alluded to both.
Right, but just so the applicant's clear what the board is expecting.
Correct.
Are you asking for a stormwater management plan or simply a soil erosion and sedimentation control plan?
No, I said pre-construction and post-construction. Those are two different things.
I think Jeff's point, making a really good point, because I think we are talking about two different things in terms of two separate plans that should be addressed.
Right. Runoff and erosion. There's a drainage issue as well,
right?
Remember.
I want to see what it's going to look like post-construction. Pre-construction or during construction, you have erosion control, and some of that can be addressed by VMPs.
Right.
Best management practices.
Which includes the berms and silt fence and that type of stuff, which they're already doing. I mean, that's
sediment basins.
That's flooring construction.
Right.
But as you said, that concern is after construction, the long term.
Which is the handling of protection. Stormwater. Stormwater control, is that
right.
What you're asking for?
Right.
Yeah. That affects the leak.
And if I understand the board correctly, you determined that the documentation that's been submitted already to the board is insufficient for you to determine that there's going to be adequate stormwater management?
Very inadequate. There's none.
It's just missing. It's missing.
The this proposal from Allard Landscape is not.
It's for trees.
That's a buffer. That's not anything to do with stormwater management.
I think you'll find, though, in terms of soil erosion control, that there's physical evidence that the applicant's been using best management practices to control soil erosion for the work that's been done so far in that lot. But if you feel you need to have that on paper, that's fine.
And you're talking about the berms that are currently the temporary berms that he has with the wood chips.
The mulching and all that. In my opinion, that's sufficient, a temporary measure to control erosion and sedimentation.
But that,
that
is
site.
Something, a few times it's been said temporary, so that would have to be, that would be a pre-construction, or the pre-construction controls.
Yeah, well, if you need to have a written plan, that's fine. You're entitled to ask for that. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask the CEO a question, please? Do you agree with Mr. McAvoy's assessment of the erosion that's been going on, the no erosion out there, as far as wood chips or anything going across there? Would you say that's
I can't speak to wood chips. I haven't personally seen wood chips in the road or in the lake, but there's a very minor, if you look at the project as a whole, erosion that's happened, a little bit on the bank, but I think for the most purposes of controlling erosion, I think the applicant's done a very good job.
Thank you.
So far.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Off track again.
So we were on three.
So again, what is the board asking of the applicant in terms of number two?
Stormwater plan.
Yeah.
And will contain a plan for the road and culvert and all this. That. Yeah. What is your plan for the road? What is your plan for repairing the culvert at the bottom of that road? Post construction. Where is the water going to go and be treated before it gets to the lake?
Yeah.
Period. Enough.
So do we need to vote on this section to take a vote or not?
No.
No.
After we go through each point, like we did right now, we're back and we deal with it. Right. We're asking the applicant for more data.
Okay.
For each one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's stormwater.
Chairman?
Yes.
Do you believe you have enough information on what was said to inform the applicant of your reply?
Well, it's up to you to inform the applicant, not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you would be in touch with the applicant.
I mean, I think I understand what you're asking for. Mm-hmm. Does the applicant understand?
Sort of, kind of. Could I just show a couple of pictures of what we've done?
No. I've driven by it twice in the last few days.
What you have yeah. pictures of are erosion control measures you've taken to control the erosion of soil from stormwater movement on that lot. What the board is asking for now is a stormwater management plan that shows after all the improvements are made, the improvements to the road going up, the building of the parking lot, how are you going to treat stormwater flow on that lot after that's all done? That's a stormwater management plan.
Well, that's why I just wanted to show a picture of like what you had as hydro seed and how that grass is established.
Yeah, if that's your plan, then that's...
I just wanted to know if that, was what they had in mind, because then they could actually see what we did.
Yeah.
Last fall, we thought that part of it was...
So here's a question for the board. I have: is the board expecting the stormwater management plan to be done by a qualified professional?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So that answers the question.
That's the only way we're going to know what the percentage run. I mean, they're going to do calculations. Uh-huh. What a 50-year storm is, 10-year storm, what kind of runoff going to
be. Hydraulic calculations.
Yeah. Otherwise, we just...
How it's going to be treated.
Nothing.
I've spent up to $200,000 to do a study like that. That's not feasible here to spend. I just don't know the scope of what you want in that plan. Because, when you're doing it where you're handling material, that can have oil and stuff, you've got to have oil on the separators, you've got to have a lot of stuff, and you really need the pivots. But it's the cost of trying to, I just can't wrap my mind around how comprehensive and what you need to satisfy you so that I can do it if it's possible. I just don't know, because I gotta give somebody an outline of what I need to work and have them give me a quote. And like I said,
right.
That's me, that's the volunteering, that's money to do so. Mm-hmm. And I just would like to have the parameters so I don't do more than is required.
Basically, you're going to have to consult with a civil engineer, tell them what your project is, and they're going to give you an idea of how much it's going to cost to provide a stormwater management plan for that piece of property. You're probably going to have a surveyor in there. You're going to have to look at the contours of the property. I mean, this all has to be done in order to be able to calculate the runoff from that property and know what you're going to do with it. And, that's our job as the planning board to make sure that we have all the information we need to make a reasonable decision about any project moving forward. We'd be doing this. If Paul wanted to build on his lot over there, we'd be doing the same thing with him, because he's right on the edge of the lake. Any pollution from any of those properties we're going to look at if it's something that comes under our jurisdiction.
Yeah, I do. Mr. Chairman, can you ask the folks in the back to hold it down, please? It's really distracting for me.
I don't know. Bruce?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This is one issue of could be 5-10. So
correct.
Right. So I think we should just continue on.
Let's go.
We need something for number 3 as well.
During construction, that is also would come under. A little bit of storm management, but if it's done correctly, MDEP has what they call a best management practices program.
Yeah.
So the plan
for the post-secondary and a plan for where the silt fences are and other water filtration attributes are.
Would be covered by the stormwater plan.
Mr. Chairman, yep. 3 would not be part of a reforestation plan. That would come from another plan, right? Mitigation. That would not come under number 3.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, replanting and stuff like the alley proposal was not under number 3, right?
Correct.
Okay, right. I just want to make sure I understood the difference between that and soil.
Mostly construction of the walkways, parking lots, roadways.
Right. During construction.
Yeah. Yeah. And number 3 will address actually number 4, which is surface and subsurface waters.
Covered by stormwater plan?
Yeah, since there's
surface.
Nothing else. It's either rain or it isn't.
Have you identified a water pollutant from this land use?
Sedimentation.
This is sedimentation problem.
Count. That wouldn't be a pollutant, I guess.
There was some talk early on about increased vehicle traffic on an impervious road, but would that increase, would that be beyond what's already traffic on the Silver Lake Road?
Not really.
So,
but
I don't know that this proposed land use would increase any more pollutant.
No, I think they mean a foreign material, not siltification or anything like that.
It's mostly
so that's not applicable.
Silting,
right,
and sedimentation problems,
which would be covered on the 2 and 3.
2 and 3, exactly. Yeah. So this is not applicable.
74 would be not applicable.
Yeah, I think you're right. Shoreline district that high up?
Yes. Well,
250 feet.
Yes. For right at the moment, 7 is kind of, I don't know if we will consider proposal 3 here, Allen Landscape, a answer to that.
But that or something similar.
But it's a start.
Yeah, they're adding erosion control ground cover. Howard's is well, in their plan.
Yeah. So I believe that's evidence is there.
So I would say that the number 7, correct me if I'm wrong, repair work, some sort of repair work would need to be done.
Correct, and we have a small plan for that right now. But
I think that might be under local area standards number 2.
I'm trying to think how to put it.
Privacy, that kind of thing. Isn't that what
it's for? Well, the original cutting was in that shoreline area. So that would be, I see it as number 7.
Right. Okay.
And maybe it's covered slightly on a dotted line to another area.
A property owner is allowed to cut a percentage.
Right.
But
this
in this case,
this was clear.
Yes. So we have to find balance in getting some of that.
a balance to get some of that restored.
Getting that restored.
I don't understand that concept. I just want to make sure that this is, that there are options here that the court has for that reforestation. The alley, I assume Abram Alley drew this up. And yeah. He's got, you know, you want these folks to go out, you get an expert on water management, sort of believe you can accommodate them for this. I mean, it seems to be like a double standard here.
It's okay. I wouldn't say that's the answer, but I would say that something to that effect.
It's a piece of evidence.
Do you have
right
to get now. A forester involved? I don't know.
Well,
is that.
You might have to find somebody who's had more qualifications than Mr. Allen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there
if
are recommendations
need, yeah.
out there for that. And the DEP has been really specific on if you need their help to do that, they can help with that too.
Yeah.
That material is available that you can review that suggests that, no more than 80 square foot. One tree for every 80 square feet.
Right.
Those kind of levels. That's why when you start talking about height of trees and things like that, you want to be careful about it. Also, the follow-up a year or two back to make sure that the material that these folks are spending money on to put in there is still growing. With the idea that if half of them died, now what? So you want to have a follow-up plan as well on all this kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, they're very specific how this is done. It's all available for review online too. But before these folks go out and spot, put 18 grand in there, if I were them, I'd want to know why an 8-foot pine, a white spruce, a balsam fir is necessary. Maybe they can get by with
it. Isn't that just as a buffer?
No, there's a formula that DEP has. And the reason, the size of the tree, it's the size of the diameter of the tree at the base of the ground. And it's a very specific formula. Yeah. He did it, but he didn't lay out, you know, we didn't realize this would turn in. We were hoping this wasn't going to turn into something that's going to go on forever. If we don't get the trees planted fairly soon, then you're not going to have time for them to get a good root structure, and then you will have issues of worrying about the trees dying from getting, you know, frozen or whatever. The things that he has there for watering. He's going to fill those once a week, come in, check on the trees, make sure they're taking hold. He isn't just going to plant trees and leave.
Mr. McAvoy, that would be great to have that on right as
well. Yeah, we can do that.
If that's the plan.
Because I'd really like to get that part going.
I understand. But again, I want to make sure that the board understands what it can, what its responsibility has. To try and give this information out that, you know, maybe an 8-foot pine isn't necessary, maybe a 5-foot pine or more dense. I don't know. I know the DEP has plenty of information on there.
Yeah,
But I don't see a formula here, but I believe you. I just don't see it. What I'm looking at here is a formula.
You can have him attach that literature with his plans.
Any information he has would be great.
I just received that plan today, by the way, so I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Allen about it. But my expectation is this buffer that was cut is going to need to be restored to the standards required by our ordinance. That's going to take many years, but you have to start somewhere. And that's what this plan is to start. But to get to a mature stand of trees again is going to take decades.
Mm-hmm. You can't plant a 40-foot pond.
Right.
So
I agree. I wasn't proposing that.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
So, again, going back to, we have two separate issues. One is a remediation of a violation, correct? Okay. And the town has responsibility to address that. Okay. And that should be done right away.
The restoration effort?
The remediation work.
I would grant that this work can be delayed until you have approved the project, because some of your review has to do with this area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, even planting the trees in there will cause. Be a little stormy weather, a little good branch right back to the beginning.
Right. So I don't think any improvement should be made of this property until you have finalized your decision on this application. But once you have done that, whether you approve the cemetery expansion or not, that area still needs to be revegetated.
True.
You look confused.
No, I'm okay. Yep. Just hot.
Okay. Special area standards.
Well, under number 7, though, we want a plan that actually addresses the area and
the application.
As far as part of the application.
Yeah. Yes. It really doesn't concern the CUP right now. Basically, this is an application for the lot in the back. The problem comes on from the road. It's got the road to get there. Now you're bringing the ends of the other stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I see it as a complete project.
And I'm just trying to make sure I understand that this is all it says, a permit to expand cemetery to South Paso at the south end. That's what this application is for. And I just want to make sure that if it is only one project, great. But I don't want to get bogged down and we don't have to get through some of this other stuff.
If we delete the road from the project, and we could just consider the back piece.
Exactly.
But as long as we got a road going up there, we've got to address somewhere.
Yep.
It's just going to come down that road.
It's going to come down right by there.
Well, that's different.
No, it's fine. Don't go looking for
me. Okay. Okay, I don't see anything under special area standards. Do you? Any comments?
Areas of flood hazard on the road.
Number 4.
There's no issue with number 4?
Yeah.
I don't think it's in the flood zone.
No, the road has been flooded from use of the land.
I don't know if that road's ever been washed out.
I don't think so.
Okay. Local area objective.
We're all in agreement, special areas that are in there.
So.
Two's being addressed by the shielding of the trees.
Yeah.
I think 2 is part of that remediation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So are you, just understand, are you expecting that a visual screen be maintained or established between the cemetery and the abutting property?